everyone here tonight. And we just pray that the Spirit of the Lord would just rest and be upon your heart and upon your life today. Amen. Amen. We had a great service last night as far as teaching-wise. I tell you, we were telling Pastor Borg how great it was, my wife, Jelaine and I, and it just touched our hearts that we were on the right track, preaching the right thing. Oh, and when you're preaching what's right, the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit moves. Amen. 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 Praise God. Oh, thank you. I just want to mention to you also at the end of the service, they do have some product here. If you'd like to purchase anything, the price list is on the wall there. So take advantage of those things if you'd like to do that. Amen. Well, without further ado, Pastor Borg, we just want to welcome you again and thank him for coming and blessing us.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. All right, brother. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Oh, man, we got a packed house tonight compared to last night. Man, the multitudes have shown up. Praise the Lord. Well, I, once again, just want to say what a privilege it is to be with you. And I love to be around people who love Jesus. Amen? Amen. And if you love Jesus, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. And I was had the opportunity to have some good old Abbeville shrimp today and enjoyed that immensely and enjoyed the fellowship with the pastor and his wife and his children. And it's just a blessing to be in the kingdom of God. Amen. A blessing to be a child of God, to be called his son, his daughter, to walk with him, to talk with him, to have a relationship with him. What God has done for us and what he has brought into our lives and purchased for us, I don't think we really understand. I don't think we can really comprehend everything that the Lord has purchased for us in his redemption plan in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a privilege to be called his son and to be called his daughter. I would like you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah. Actually, the Lord just kind of quickened this to me as I was sitting there and we were worshiping. I had intended to deal with something else totally different. And one of the songs that was one of the worship songs had to deal with waiting upon the Lord. And the Lord just dropped in my heart Isaiah chapter 40. Most of you would be familiar with these passages that I will deal with here. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to, it's kind of difficult to figure out where to break in, so I'm going to read more scripture than I probably would. But 40 and Isaiah 40 and 21. Pastor, can I turn this off? It's kind of... thank you. Thank you. All right. Isaiah 40 and 21. The Bible says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing, and maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number, he calleth them all by name, by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is a prophetic word to Israel. Israel would be God's people. As you know, they would be obedient to the Lord, and then they would be disobedient. And during those times of disobedience, when the Lord could not get through to them, He would allow famine. He would allow great calamity. He would allow them to be delivered over to their enemies and brought into a captivity. And the prophet here is prophesying concerning them and concerning that in encouraging them. Always God would raise up a man, a woman, a prophet to prophesy to His people, to point them in the right direction. Amen. To encourage them to get their eyes back on the Lord God Almighty, to encourage them to continue to depend upon and trust in the covenant. So these very powerful words here in these passages, I want us to look at for a few moments, especially verses 30 and 31. Would you pray with me tonight as we ask the Lord to help us? Heavenly Father, we say that we love You tonight, Lord God. We thank You, Lord, for the great price that You paid for us. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the relationship that we have with You. We thank You, Father, that we can call upon Your name. That, Lord, that we have a covenant relationship with the living God. Father, that You have purchased us by Your own blood, by the blood of Your Son, Lord God. Father, we thank You that You loved us enough, Lord God. You loved us enough, God, that You sent Your only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary, Lord God. Father, You loved us that much that we might be saved, to give us eternal life, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're asking tonight that You would once again open up the eyes of our heart, open up the eyes of our understanding, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of the Son of the living God. Lord, we just pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up in this place. Lord, that the anointing of Your Spirit would rest upon us. Me to preach and these to hear, Lord God, what Your Spirit is saying to us. Anoint our eyes with eye salve that we may see. Give us ears that we may hear. And we say it in Jesus' mighty name. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. I want you to know something tonight, that this God that we serve, there is no fainting, there is no weariness in Him. This God that we serve, even though it may appear that things are unraveling before us in our lives, that things are coming apart, that things are unstable, and they are in this world that we live in. And many times in our lives, things don't go the way that we thought they were going to go or the way that we would like them to go. But we need to have this confidence tonight that this God that we serve, that He is stable. Amen. He is a rock. He is neither weary. He does not faint. He is in control. And He knows what to give you. He knows what you need in your life. He knows what it's going to take to bring you to the place where you need to be as a child of God. You know, many times God allows things in our lives. He allows seasons in our lives where it appears that nothing is happening. Whether it be, you know, from our own disobedience, or whether it just be a season that the Lord is leading us into, a wilderness, if you will, whatever the case may be. The Lord is always in control. The Lord always knows what we need, and He knows what we need to go through. He knows the valleys and the trials that we need to go through in our lives. How many of you have ever been through a trial in your life? You've been through a valley. If you've been living any more than a few years, you will have to admit that you've had to go through some valleys. You've had to go through some difficulties, some hardships. But we need to know that the God that we serve, that He is in control. Amen? And that if we will turn to Him, if we will lean upon Him, if we will trust Him, He will bring us through that valley. He will bring us through that trial. He'll bring us through that hardship, whatever it is. And He'll bring us through in a victorious way, in a way that will give glory unto His name. What you go through is never in vain. Peter would say, think it not strange. Remember that? Think it not strange at the fiery trial that you are going through, the temptation, the trial, the valley that you are experiencing. Don't think it to be a strange thing. These things are allowed by God and they are ordained by God. These are times when God wants to show Himself strong on your behalf. These are times when God wants to reveal Himself to you in a greater way. He wants to reveal His strength to you in the midst of your weakness and in the midst of your difficulty. You see, God has to reveal to us many times just how weak we are. We think that we have it. We think we have what it takes. We think we have the capability to serve Him. We have the strength. We have the righteousness. We have the holiness. We think that we have what it takes. And many times God has to knock us down, if you will, a few notches, and reveal to us and show us that you're not all that you think you are. And I'm about ready to reveal myself to you and show you that I am the strong and mighty one. I don't ever faint. I don't ever get weary. You need to depend upon my strength. Depend upon my ability in your life. Depend upon me to be the strength and the Lord and the master of your life. You see, we don't come that way very easily. We don't come that way of dependence and trust in God very easily. You see, because of the fall of man, because of the clinging vines of the fall and all that is within the heart of man that is contrary to God, that is opposite of God, that does not want to go God's way. And we're all in the same boat. We're all a stiff-necked people, if you will. Our flesh does not want to submit to and yield to the way of God. So God has ways of dealing with us and bringing us down to the place where we need to be. We see that this is what happened to His people. They would be blessed by the Lord. God would bless them. He would defeat their enemies. He would provide for them. And then they would get puffed up in pride, and they would lean upon themselves, and then they would stray away from God's covenant, and God would have to knock them down a few notches. He'd have to lead them into a difficult place. And again, whether it be of your own making, your own disobedience, or whatever the case, God is allowing it for a purpose. He wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants you to know how powerful He is. He wants you to know that in the midst of your weakness, in the midst of your difficulty, your hardship, in the midst of your frailty, the frailty of your humanity, that God Almighty, that He's a strong and a mighty God. He's a mighty warrior that fights on your behalf. He goes before you in the battle. And He's there to bring you through. He's there to fight your battles for you and to teach you some lessons. And to make you what He wants you to be. This everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. God knows what's going on, folks. He knows what's going on with you. He has the hairs of your head numbered, every one of them. He knows you by name. Amen? Remember the song that we just worshiped to. He knows your name. He knows you. He knows as I said, the hairs of your head are numbered. He knows you intimately. He knows you're in and you're out. He knows everything about you. And He wants to reveal Himself to you. That's His goal and His desire. He says here in verse 29, He says, He giveth power to the faint. You see, God wants to manifest His power on your behalf. But you got to realize within yourself that you are weak, that you are faint, that you don't have what it takes. The word faint literally means those who are fatigued, exhausted, and weary. You see, you will go through places in your life where you will be fatigued, you will be exhausted, and you will be weary. God is wanting to reveal Himself to you. He's wanting to reveal Himself to you. He giveth power. That word power in the Hebrew, it means substance. It means strength. It means capacity. And what we talked about last night, it means ability. God wants to give you His power and His ability. He wants to strip you of your own strength, of your own ability, of dependence upon your own flesh, and He wants to empower you, give you His power, His ability, His substance, His strength in your life. So think it not strange at that fiery trial, because God is trying to work something in you. He's trying to reveal His power to you. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. You see, we got to get to the place to where we realize that we don't have anything within ourselves. We don't have any might within ourselves. We don't have the capacity within ourselves. Contrary to what most of the church will tell you that, you're wonderful and you got a champion in you and you can do it and it's within you to accomplish it. You have what it takes. God is trying to tell you that you don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes to serve God and to be what God has called you to be. God has to reveal to you and show you that His grace is sufficient for you. You know what the best definition of grace is? It's the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That's grace. Grace is not just a blanket covering for sin, that we can sin all that we want and the grace of God covers it. No, God's grace is, in a nutshell, His ability given to you to serve Him and to walk with Him. That's grace. That's working grace in your life, revealing the power of God on your behalf, and God being able to live His life through you because you don't have what it takes. You need His grace. I fear for people who make light of and make fun of the grace of God. They don't understand the grace of God. People who make light of it, they make fun of it, they call it greasy grace, whatever you want to call that. Making light of it, belittling it. That is a dangerous place to be, my friend, because you need the grace of God in your life. You can't make it without it. Not just for forgiveness of sin, but to live for God. You need it. You need it. God wants to give you His power. He wants to reveal Himself to you, but you have to realize that you have no might, and He will increase the strength, His strength. He'll give you His strength. And we'll look at that in a moment here. He says, even the ewes shall faint and be weary. In other words, man in the height of his own natural strength, the ewes. I remember when I was a youth, quite a few years back, a boy, 12, 15 years old, 10 years old. I don't know if you remember, Joseph, but man, you could never get tired. I mean, you would play all day and run around, and I mean, you could go and go and go and go half the night. Amen? I mean, you're young and you're vibrant, and you can just continue to go. You're at really the height of your endurance, if you will. So the picture being painted here is that even humanity in the height of their endurance and their strength, it even mentions young men here. He says, they shall utterly fall. In other words, they will get to the end of themselves. Because flesh cannot stand before God. No flesh will glory in His presence. And God is ever trying to reveal to us and show us that within our flesh that we can't do it. Man in the height of his strength. I don't care how good you are, how smart you are, how strong you are, how powerful you are. You don't have what it takes to be what God has called you to be. God wants to reveal Himself to you, and He wants to reveal Himself in you to be so that you can be what He's called you to be. So the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. That word weary, it means to gasp. It means to be exhausted. It means to toil. It means to make to labor. Even the youths and the young men, that will take place when we depend upon the arm of the flesh. They shall faint, be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But then he says this in verse 31. This is really what I want to focus on. But they that wait upon the Lord. Now what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? I used to think that waiting upon the Lord means that you go in a dark room and you sit there and you just wait. I'm going to wait for God to speak to me. You know? And a lot of Christians think that that's what that means. But no. That word wait in the Hebrew, it literally means to bind together by twisting. It's speaking of our relationship with God. We get, if you will, wrapped up, tied up, all tangled up in Jesus. That's what it really means to wait on the Lord, meaning that you are developing that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're getting all wrapped up in Him to bind together by twisting. They that wait upon the Lord. Doesn't mean just to passively just kind of sit back and wait for God to do something. No, you are developing relationship. You are spending time with the Lord. You are intermingling, if you will, with the sacrifice, with Jesus Christ, who He is and what He did on the cross of Calvary. They that wait upon the Lord. It means to wait for. It means to wait on. It means to expect. It means all of those things, but it mostly implies that developing of that relationship to bind together by twisting. You see, God wants to bring you to the place to where you are intimately connected with Him. Amen. On a continual basis, you see, this thing, this covenant that we have, it's all about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or I should say, relationship with the Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. God wants to bring you and develop that intimacy and that relationship with you so that He can be to you everything that He desires to be and He longs to be in you. That you may experience all of the provisions of His covenant, all of the benefits that He has for you. You see, God has so much for you. He's given you so much. He's paid such a great price for you, and He's saying, here it is, take it. I'm wanting to give it to you. Just get in relationship with me. Through my covenant, cross, the name of Jesus Christ, who He is, what He did, get in that relationship and let me meet all of your needs. How grieving it is to the heart of God, and we see again through the history of Israel that all God ever wanted was a people that would be a praise and an honor and a glory unto Him. He just wanted a people that He could pour forth of His provision and His blessings upon, that He could lay His hand upon. He's telling us tonight that the table is spread. Everything that you need is found on that table. I have purchased it by my Son's blood. The covenant has been cut. The way has been made. The provision is there. God is saying, I have spared not my own son to freely give you everything that you need as a child of God. When are you going to accept it? When are you going to receive it? When are you going to, by faith, enter into it? When are you going to bind together by twisting and enter into that intimate relationship through the blood of the Lamb, through the cross, and receive all of the benefits that God has for you in Christ? It's available to you. It's there. And it grieves the heart of God when we don't, by faith, embrace and approach and appropriate everything that He has for us. It grieves the heart of God. You know, we don't think of God many times as one who has emotion, who experiences grief and He experiences joy. And you can break the heart of God when you deny the covenant that He paid such a great price for. Not with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. Great price He paid for you to give you everything that you need. They that wait upon the Lord, it says they shall renew their strength. You know what that word renew means in the Hebrew? It means to change or exchange. Get that? That is powerful. You see, God is not in the business of rehabilitating your strength. He's not in the business of giving you more strength in your flesh. He is in the business of making you a new creature. Not rehabilitation, but making you a new creature and imparting to you and giving to you His strength, His ability, His power, His grace. But we got to get to the end of ourselves. We have to say, Lord, I realize that I might be in the height of my own physical strength within myself, but God, I need Your grace. I need Your power. I need Your ability. I need an exchange of strength. You see, there needs to be a heavenly exchange. Paul would say this. He would say, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. See, you need to put on your clothes. Amen. You need to put on your heavenly clothes. You need to clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. There needs to be a heavenly exchange. God, I need Your grace. I need Your strength. I need You to bring me to the place where I don't depend upon the strength of myself, even though I might be at the height of it within my own flesh. But God, I need Your strength. You see, God needs to get us to the end of ourselves. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord their God. Cursed is the man who trusts in flesh, in man. You will only be blessed when you depend upon and trust in what He has provided for you. So they that wait, they that develop that relationship, bind together by twisting, wait upon the Lord, shall exchange or change their strength, their filthy rags, their weakness, their inadequacy, their shortcomings, their sin. Take that off and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on His righteousness. Put on His holiness. Put on His grace, His power. Everything that He's accomplished for you, put that on. The heavenly exchange. And then He says that they shall mount up. If you'll do that, you'll mount up with eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Mount up with eagles. That word, mount, it means to ascend. It means to be high. It means to make to rise up. You know, I did a little study on eagles several years ago. And eagles are some of the most beautiful birds that God created. They They have the capacity to fly at unbelievable heights. And if you'll notice, if you've ever seen an eagle, they very rarely will flap their wings. Very rarely. What they do is they get caught up in the wind and in the streams of air that are flowing at that height that they are. Many times they'll be up on a cliff or a precipice, and they'll just launch off and just catch a wind and just go with that wind. You see, God wants you to mount up with wings as eagles. He doesn't want you to have to be struggling and striving in your own strength and flapping your wings. You need to get caught up in the wind of the Holy Ghost. Amen? By exchanging your strength and depending upon Jesus Christ, who He is and what He did on the cross, and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide your life and to lead your life and to live your life. Because you can't do it yourself. They have a very keen eyesight. They're just amazing birds. Many times they fly so, they're up so high that they're actually so close to the sun that they develop cataracts in their eyes. And what they do when they develop these cataracts is they, and this is a beautiful picture, they'll come down and they'll find, get this, a tree. And they'll rub their eye on that tree, on the bark, to get rid of that cataract. The tree, get it? You have to stay grounded at the cross, the tree. Even though you may soar to great heights, when God does that work in you and you renew, you exchange your strength and you begin to experience the glory and the power of God, and you're not depending upon yourself, you must never lose sight of the fact that your grounding is the cross, the blood. God wants you to be like an eagle. Another thing about eagles is they soar above the storms. You see, God, what He's provided for you, you can soar above the storms of life. You can soar above them in Christ. Not meaning that you won't go through them. You'll go through them, but you won't be affected by them. You can soar above them. You can be victorious. Is the idea. You can be overcoming. You don't have to allow them to affect you because you are soaring above. You have waited upon the Lord. You have exchanged your strength, and now you've mounted up. You've ascended like an eagle. And you're rising above the storms of life, and you're living in peace, living in victory. Living in the provision of God. Living in what God has provided for you. Mount up like with wings as eagles. And then He says, they shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The idea is this, when you're living in the provision of God, you're living in the substance of God. You're living a life that is empowered by the Spirit of God. Then you'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. You know, there's different seasons in our lives. There's times when we're running and we're busy. There's ministry. There's things going on in our lives. If you've been around very long, you've experienced those different seasons. Then there's times when there's not a whole lot going on in your life. It's just the monotony of the everyday routine. Nothing real spectacular happening. It's just you're getting, plodding through. But the promise to you is, if you wait, you bind together by twisting, you develop that relationship, you exchange your strength, you take off your filthy garments, your old garments, you clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise to you is that you won't grow weary, that you won't faint. Even when, whether you're walking or whether you're running, in every circumstance, in every situation, you will have what is necessary and have what you need in the Lord to be able to walk this walk and live this life and to do it victoriously. Amen? We need a heavenly exchange. We need to stop depending upon the arm of flesh. That's what always got God's people, Israel, in trouble, is they depended upon themselves, trusted in themselves. And whenever you do that, you tie the hands of God Almighty. And He cannot do in you what He desires to do. He has so much for His children. He wants to empower you, give you His covenant blessings and covenant provisions. He wants to do all that for you, but we tie His hands by our unbelief. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for this covenant. We thank You for the great price that You paid, Father. Lord, I just ask tonight, Lord God, that You would encourage, that You would strengthen Your people tonight, Lord. Father, if there be anyone here that they haven't made that heavenly exchange yet, they have not depended upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they have not trusted in Him, maybe they're not where they need to be in their relationship with You, Father, I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost that You would convict them, that You would draw them, that You would woo them, Lord God, and bring them into Your fold. Bring them into Your kingdom, Lord God. Father, may we be a people, Lord God, that walks in Your grace, walks in Your power, walks in Your strength, Lord God, a people that desires an intimate relationship with You. Draw us closer to You, Lord God. Draw me, Lord. Hallelujah. Draw, may that be our prayer. Draw me, Lord. Draw me into Your presence. Draw me into Your glory. Draw me into that relationship, Lord God. Father, we thank You for that. I thank You for these here, Lord God. May Your kingdom come, and may Your will be done in each heart and in each life. And we say it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Pastor.
Well, amen. Praise God. That was good. That was good. Thank you. Thank you for being obedient. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, the Spirit of the Lord knows what we need. And, you know, it's not easy to come up and preach something that you haven't really studied, you know, as far as bringing something, you know. You'd rather stay with your old stuff that you had, you know, you studied. But, you know, thank you for being obedient and giving us the word of the Lord tonight. And I want to tell you, I appreciate that. Thank you for being sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. I tell you, that was a good word. I tell you, it just encouraged me and it really taught me some things. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, why don't you stand, please? Amen. You know, as you stand and as we play this last song, you know, we're to give honor where honor is due, and we're to give where God says to give. And you know, as you get ready to, we're going to pick up a love offering for Pastor Borg, and you know, before you get what you think you're going to get, let's pray. Let's pray. Because, you know, God knows the need. God knows what we need to give. Father, Lord, I pray right now that the Spirit of the living God, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to each and every one of our hearts, Lord God. Father, show us what to do, Father. Lord God, we want to be obedient children unto You. Sons and daughters that are obedient to the Father. And Lord God, we pray that You would show us, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.